To start with, I would like to share with you two scriptures, two verses of the scriptures, which I know you know by heart, but I think it is appropriate to read them to give kind of little thought why I'm saying few things that I am saying. Is found in the third chapter of the Gospel of St. John, verses 6 and 7. St. John chapter 3, 6 and 7. The words of Jesus Christ himself. Is no one else but Jesus said these words. Is why I count them paramount or very, very important. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So here we have the emphasis on the physical birth and the spiritual birth. Is why today we honor our mothers who gave us the physical life. But we find in the scriptures that all of us to live, not just this life that we get from our mothers, but the life eternal, you need a second birth, spiritual birth, is why we have in the South particularly the saying of Christians, he or she is born again Christian. And I'm sure there's a curiosity at time, which is natural. Question we always ask, how is it possible that an atheist, communist Russian turned out to be an American Christian? Humanly, it is not possible, but with God, it is possible. So this is why I shall tell my testimony, how the Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, turned me from an atheist Russian into an American Christian. I was born in 1922. In fact, yesterday was my birthday. I have made 83-year-old person. Can you imagine? And the Lord the Lord still permits me to walk around and even talk once in a while. And of course, in a week I'll be in Russia preaching in my native tongue, Russian, without any interpreter. Most of the American preachers now go to Russia and they are welcome, but they have to find an interpreter to translate what they are saying. In my case, I am the one that can speak Russian as well, or not as English. And so I'll be there preaching. And so I was born in Russia a long time ago under the more or less government of the Communist Party. In fact, the year I was born, the Soviet Union was constituted as a state. It became Union of Soviet Socialistic Republic. Believe it or not, it was done the year I was born. Up to that point, there was still civil war going on in Russia between the Reds and the Whites, as you remember history. But in 1922, they finally took over. Now, for a few years, of course, they didn't change anything in Russia. But Lenin, who started all in Russia, suddenly died in 1924, and Stalin took over. And he decided to put into practice his socialist ideas. And among those things, on the economic side, he eliminated entirely private property ownership. So overnight, in 1929, when he established by that time political power in Russia, for himself and became virtually dictator. He issued a decree, or they call it five-year plan, according to which he said, everybody now is living in a socialist state and doesn't own anything, everything public own and government control, and everybody practically work for the government. And the second, of course, item of his policy was complete elimination of religion. As you know, traditionally, Russians supposed to be Russian Orthodox, is the Eastern branch of Catholicism. Up to 11th century, the Roman Western Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church were together. But in the 11th century, they split. One went one way, the other went the other way. One more or less tried to control the countries in the East and the other countries in the West. And of course, Russian Orthodoxy took hold of Russia and, of course, dominated everything till the government of Tsar fell and the communists took over, and the communists wanted to eliminate all religion. Because somewhere both Karl Marx and later Lenin said that religion is just opiate of the minds of the people. And Lenin said, Stalin said, since so, therefore we do away with religion and will train, or in our American terms, brainwash a new man, a new socialist communist man that doesn't believe in anything, but of course in the natures of in matter. All right? And so there started very, very severe persecution of Christians and other religions, especially Jews, there in Russia, that lasted from 1929 all the way through the fall of communism in 1991. All right, and so therefore, when I was growing up in Russia, I was a little communist atheist, is who I really was. I was Stalin's boy, you know. So we were told and dreamed that we're going to take the whole world for the communists and reshape the whole world and make the whole world the communist world. All right, and so the only thing that I can say about religion in Russia at the time, that I remember that the church buildings, of course, were taken over or confiscated by the government and turned into government buildings. All the steeples were taken off. They were all or completely destroyed. And then the communists instructed the communist youth and send them through house to house throughout the community, and they gather all the church books, theological books, and the Bibles, would bring them to the midst of the community, throw them in a pile, and then burn them, and sing the communist songs around the burning Bibles. Said, of course, usually I remember the stanza saying, «Мы на горе всем буржуям, мировой пожар раздуем». For the war of all the capitalists will set on fire the whole world in the communist revolution. That was the slogan of communists when I was growing up. All right, and so therefore, the communists tried to eliminate completely the faith in any kind of religion in Russia at the time. And that lasted practically through the fall, through the 1991 when the communists finally fell. And so therefore, I have to admit that I was growing up completely in an ungodly, more or less, situation. My mother died when I was 10 years old, and so I was kind of half orphan. And so therefore, my mother was not around to teach me what she knew a little of the Orthodoxy, because she was not a Protestant Christian, but she was a Orthodox Christian. All right, and of course, it's very liturgical church like the Roman Catholic, and of course, people are not taught scriptures or so on. In fact, till I wound up in Germany. I even didn't hold Bible in my hand. All I knew about the Bible, that some kind of the dark or black looking books like that the Russians had in old times were burned at the communist bonfires. Then, of course, and I was taught, of course, I went to high school, went to university, and I guess I eventually would become some communist functionary, you know. Since I went going to college. But then in 1941, suddenly to Russia came the Second World War. The Russians call it the Great Patriotic War, and today is the day of celebration. Today, exactly 6 years ago, that Germany capitulated. We Americans do not emphasize it that much, in the reason obvious, because for American war was not over, because we still had to fight Japan, you know. And so the war for this country came in December. But for Russians, it came in May the 8th, and so they celebrated till now as a big holiday. And thanks to our President Bush, he's the first president who decided to visit Russia on this great occasion that the Russians still celebrate the fall of Nazi or Hitler's Germany in 1945. So that great war came, and I was attending at the time junior military college, being trained an officer. So they gave me a commission in a paratroop corps, you know, and said, gave me outfit of the soldiers, a company, and put me in North Caucasus terrain in Chechnya, of all places, you know, to defend Chechnya from the Germans. So you can blame me, or the Russians can blame me for Chechnya, because I didn't let the Germans take them. All right. Of course, it cost very dearly. Out of 200 men of my company that we, as we entered the battle there, only the time I was wounded, only 7 left after about a month of battle against the Germans there. It was 200 men company and only 7 left. Then finally I was wounded and had to go to hospital myself. I recovered from wounds there and was given another company only near Leningrad or St. Petersburg now to fight Germans there. Then were transferred down to Kharkov, crossed River Dnieper already in 1943 when the thing began to go well for the Russians. And we crossed the river, tried to attack Germans, and Germans sent tanks against us, and we didn't have any support. And so therefore, most of the men were killed and wounded. I was wounded myself and was taken a prisoner and became prisoner of war in Germany. I spent in the German prison camp a year and a half, almost starved to death. Of course, those of Americans who were in the prison camps in Germany know well that we were not fed too well, and sometimes not at all. But Lord let me to survive. Lord was merciful to me when I even didn't know that He was more merciful to me. But I survived. And then came this May the 8th. For me, this is a great anniversary too. 60 years ago, May the 8th, believe it or not, to the area of the prison camp where I was Stalag 7, or in German, Sieben, 40 miles east of Munich, on the other, of course, on western side, there's famous Dachau, which is still preserved. You can go and visit the Dachau, which was death camp mainly for political prisoners and the Jews. But on the other side, 40 miles, there was the huge prisoner of war camp, Well, of course, I met two or three Americans who were in the same camp. Of course, each nationality was kept in their separate compound. And so came a great day of liberation. I remember May the 8th, where when our barracks were unlocked for the barracks were locked for the night, and we hoped that no fire happened because we have to wait on German guards from outside to unlock the barracks. And we got to the courtyard of the prison camp, and we saw that morning, May the 8th, very peculiar things going on in the camp. We thought that we would line up and start the day, and the Germans would start counting the heads, you know. When we looked, German guards, those that manned the machine gun towers, and those who walked around with big German shepherd dogs to see to it that we prisoners do not run away. Believe it or not, those German guards just took off and ran away themselves, left us there. We turned to the other side of the camp, and we knew the reason. There was company, detachment of American troops. I think one or two jeeps ahead, just rushing toward the prison camp. And those Americans came, tore down the gates, opened barbed wires, opened the gates wide, and came to us, embraced us, and said, "Boys, you are free now. You can go where you want to go. You can do what you want to do. You can eat as much as you want to." They looked at us, how shaggy we were, hardly standing on our own feet. And they gave one hand one Red Cross package, and to another hand another Red Cross package, turned us loose and said, "Boys, you are free now. Go wherever you want to go." And believe it or not, I decided to exercise my freedom. I refused to go back to Soviet Union. Of course, the reason really obvious. I don't know if I had a choice, not my choice. I had a choice, of course. But if I would return to Russia at that time, after May the 8th, day of liberation, by the American army back to Russia, I would receive minimum 25 years of hard labor in Siberia gulags as a prisoner. And so after staying a year and a half in Hitler's prison camp, I didn't want to go for 25 years to Stalin's prison camp. So therefore, when American turned me loose, I said, "I'm free man, I'm going to find my way there in Germany." And so I stayed in Germany as a refugee, or this, we were called at the time by a specific name, displaced person. And so for about a month we just roamed around doing nothing. Then after a month, American wanted to stabilize life in Germany, and they told to the refugees that now we had to go to this designated refugee camps, register there and live there under the auspices of the International Refugee Organization to see if some country would take more or less refugees for resettlement. And so I went and registered myself as a refugee and lived in the refugee camp. But the life was not stable, was more or less most time was uncertainty. And at times I felt that it were not the Germans who lost the war, but it was I who lost the war. I lost my country, so though it was a communist country, but after all, at the time, it was my country. All right, then I lost my family, because now, since Stalin said, "I am the enemy of the people, traitor, since I permit the Germans to capture me, and shoot myself, so I am a traitor," automatically, in the Russian jurisdiction of that time was their traitors too, if they are found out. And so for 50 years, I didn't dare to write to Russia. My people didn't know what had happened to me during war for 50 years, as long as communists lasted there. And of course, lost position. I was just company commander and captain of paratroopers at the time, but still was some position. And now in Germany, I had nothing. Just for like forsaken, forgotten men that nobody wants. Germans really didn't want us refugees living in Germany. They were pressing upon the Americans, find us country to go to. And America at the time was more restrictive immigration than now. It was very hard to get to America and so on. So at the time I was planning to go all the way to Venezuela. And many of my friends of that time went to Venezuela to live as refugees there. So therefore, I came at that time to a bad conclusion that really it makes no sense to live this life. And I found out, of course, soon after that, without Christ, it makes no sense to live this life. And so I said to myself quite often, maybe it's the best just quit it. And when I was at the shape like that, believe it or not, to me came Jesus and saved me.
Amen.
First, Jesus Christ knocked into my heart through the reading two little gospel leaflets that I had found. We were living in a refugee camp. It was all the German army barracks, you know. And I guess rooms were designated for about 10 to 20 men. And as refugees, of course, we were civilians, so they would put one room per family, if it's family, and then those people who didn't have family, like I was at the time, they would put two, three men in a room, a single one. All right, and it was November 1949. I remember the date. It was turning cold in Germany, you know, in November, end of November. And so, and I wanted to warm up the rooms. And the heating of the rooms in refugee camp was done a simple way. There in the corner, by the window, was standing an old camp stove made out of tin. You old timers may remember that tin stove. Then, of course, a little pipe or chimney straight through the window pane outside. All right. And they stood there year round. In the winter, of course, they were filled with wood and coal. And in the summer, they were not taken out because they would be brought back, so they just stayed there. People would throw trash papers there to have some kindling fuel when they start again the fires in winter. And so it was kind of cold, and so I said, I guess I'll start that fire first time in the winter, I mean in the late fall. So I opened the little door, looking there, and somebody had filled that thing with the papers. And so I struck a match, put in there. By that time, those papers didn't want to burn freely. Only smoke, they began to pour out and fill the room, and I knew that thing was clogged, so there was no passage of the air, you know, to go to burn well and go through. So I said, I guess I have to clean that thing out and start all over again. So I began to pull out the newspapers and magazines that were in the German language. And I was not interested in them. But can you believe it, among those papers, my eyes fell upon two little leaflets printed in my native Russian tongue. Can you imagine little script among the German papers that were printed in Russian? And of course, you know, if you studied I know a little bit of Russian. You know that Russian alphabet is Cyrillic alphabet, actually a combination of Greek and Latin put together. And so therefore it looks somewhat differently from any other alphabet. So if you know a little bit of Russian, you know it is Russian script. Okay, and so more or less without thinking, I just grabbed those two little leaflets because they are in my native tongue and began to glance at them and to read them. And there was not much written in those two little gospel tracts. There were only two passages of the scripture quoted. First was Revelation 3:20. Jesus saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open it, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." And second verse was Matthew 11:28-29, I believe. Jesus Christ again saying, "Come unto me, all that labored and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest." And beneath those two verse quotation from the Bible, there was a little explanation, and then I remember a question saying that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is standing at your heart now and is knocking. Did you knock to God in your sorrows? And you know, that question really struck my mind like a sledgehammer. I just stopped there, forgot about anything in the world, and ask myself, is there God? And I realized that I was taught by the teachers that there is no God, but I was not even allowed to ask questions why there is no God. And so I just had to accept what I was taught, what everybody was taught. But by that time, remembering what had happened to me during the war, how that millions of Russians died in that war, and I survived, I began to see that there is God, whether I or somebody wants him to be. Then after that question, came second question, said, yes, there is God, but why you are so miserable in your life? And there came an easy answer, because I never knocked up to that point to God in my sorrow. And you know, though I was alone in that room, I felt that someone, though invisible, was standing before me and talking. Amen. And I felt an urge to say something. And so there I offered my first prayer. I started like this. I said, "God, if thou really art, and I am now 27 years old and miserable and in the darkness," said God, "if you are really are, do you want me to be the rest of my life in the darkness?" And then when I said the word like that in the prayer, I felt that words of repentance began to come out about my sins. And then tears began fall down my cheeks. I never cried before and after, as I remember. I didn't cry during my childhood days in that communist paradise of Russia, being without any food in my mouth for 2 days or sometimes entire week, during the famines of the 30s, being without any food for 3 days or sometimes whole week. Starving little boy. But I didn't cry. I didn't cry when my mother died and was buried like a dog, because the communists at the time didn't believe in decent Christian funerals for common folks. I didn't cry when I was in war and around me was bloodshed and deaths, and soldiers were dying right and left of me as we were attacking German positions, but I didn't cry. I didn't cry when I was in the German prison camp and those Hitler men were kicking me into my face for nothing. I didn't cry when other misfortunes came. But in that room, when for the first time in my life I realized that before me was standing somebody greater than the whole big universe is, in speaking to me in small, lovely voice, saying, "Come unto me, and I'll give you rest." That time I cried. And I said, "God, I come, only help me." And you know, when I stood up after that prayer, I felt real joy and freedom, because I felt that something touched my being and began to remake and reshape me all over again. This is my testimony. If someone would ask me, how do you explain what it means to be born again? It's actually personal experience. You have your personal experience. You make your personal decision. You let the Holy Spirit lead and direct you personally. And you know, you will know that you are born again. Because the Spirit of Christ will touch your being and begin to remake and reshape you over again. But of course, in my case, I have to add, here a person comes from strict atheism, you know, of communist regime, into Christianity, never been much to a church, never read the Bible, never been to Sunday school, namely, didn't grow up in the Christian circles as you are, okay? So after that initial experience, what I did, okay? All I had to go by was two gospel leaflets. They found out that they were printed in the United States and then shipped to Germany to be distributed to refugees in the refugee camps. I don't know how in the world they wound up in the trash papers in Woodstock to be burned. Probably there was another man before me, and probably a missionary or a chaplain who worked with the refugees, came by and was witnessing to him and gave him leaflet as he went to the other rooms in the refugee camp, but the person was not interested, followed them up and threw them up in the trash paper, and you would think that was the end of our missionary effort. But what Bible says again? Bible says, God says that my word shall never return unto me void. That time it didn't. I came by, pulled it out, and my life was completely changed. And so, looking at those two gospel leaflets, I said, I guess, to find more about God. For it was born within me that moment, desire to find the truth about God. You see, it was kept from me for 27 years, and I want to know it. And so for it all, I had to go buy just two gospel leaflets. So I looked at them, and what written was quoted from the Testament, from the Bible. So in my simple mind, I just decided to find the Bible. But you know, in some places, you still can find that it's hard to find the Bible. For one or the other reason, Bible is either forbidden or not existing as yet. So, I went to one religious group there in Germany and asked the Bible, and the leader of that group said he has no Bible, he has church books, catechism, it will be sufficient for me what he will tell me. So I looked back at him and said, "Now, the communists used to tell me the sufficient what they will tell me." And now here another person said, "All I have to know what he will tell me." So I didn't stay with those churches. But when the Spirit of God gets a hold of you, it may never turn loose. Just walking on streets of Munich, you know, I saw a fellow walking opposite to me. We were together in the prison camp as prisoners. Americans came, liberated us. He went in one direction, I guess in Germany, I went the other direction. And 3 years later, after war, here we meet again. And we began to talk, and after a few words he said, I sensed that he was a new changed person compared with what I knew of him before. And he didn't beat around bushes as long as some of us do as Christians about our Christian testimony. He said to me, he's a Christian now. He was converted in a mission composed of refugees from Russia and Germany, from Russia and Ukraine, there in Munich, Germany. And he said, it's good to be Christian. I told him, all right, you can talk much. You can talk much. But I would like to find the Bible and to read the Bible by myself. And you should have seen grin or smile on that fellow's face when I mentioned to him the word Bible. He said, come on to our mission. We have some Bibles. Our brothers and sisters in America, send us some Bibles. I will give you one. So next Sunday, I went to a Christian mission there in Munich, Germany. And they gave me Bible, as my friend said they would. And I took that Bible and started to read it. I didn't know how to read the Bible at the time, because I never been to Sunday school or anywhere. So I started to read this regular book. I started to read the Bible in Genesis. And it took me a whole month to read the Bible. You know, I read it as a regular book, like you read the novels. I read the Bible like you read novels. Okay, I read it at times with various feelings. Because there are some places in the Bible not so pleasant, we have to admit. But they are truth. And I read through, waded through the Bible, and closing the reading of the Bible with the last verse in the book of Revelation, I made a decision. I said to myself and to God that I'm going to be a child of God if God wants me. So I went back to the mission when one invitation was given to accept Jesus. Publicly, I came forward, turned around, looked at the people present there, and I said, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I would like to be baptized and join the church. Then I voted. I was accepted. 3 weeks later, I was baptized. And 3 months later, I was called to preach. And I preached all over Germany in refugee camps, before I came to live and study in the United States. This is how my testimony, how an ungodly communist Russian can become an American Christian. The Lord has been good to me. He let me come to the United States and preach in the United States, teach in the United States. And then when I retired from Louisiana College after 30 years of teaching Bible and languages, I went to Russia. It was still year 1991. It was still the communist country. And everybody was warning me, you're going back to Soviet Union. The KGB is still in place. And the communists, of course, they have no statutes of limitations. So therefore, those laws that applied during the war applies now as the crime committed right away. And so I said they can arrest you and send you to Gulag or to Siberia prison. And I said, I guess. Then I just have to preach in the prison over there in Soviet Union. But the Lord, I feel, about do something. And so I went to Russia as a missionary, volunteered there to help them to establish seminary. So, therefore, I'm one of the co-founders of the Baptist Seminary in Odessa, Ukraine. I taught there 8 years, and then I told them, I'm really getting old, so you make your own professors, and your own teachers, and your own leaders. And so all leadership of the Russian seminary, believe it or not, my former student in Odessa Seminary, who finished and continued the work. So I'll see them there in Russia in a week. All right, and then, of course, because Soviet Union was close country. All I could do for 40 years, I was praying. Since I became a Christian, I had one major prayer for 40 years. Sometimes expressed it openly, sometimes more or less just silently to myself. That I was praying, Lord, somehow, by thy eternal power, do something that the atheism and communism in Russia more or less disappear, and the people in Russia, like I was given chance in Germany to confront the scripture and make a decision, would have the same chance to do it also. I was praying for 40 years and thought that, I will probably die and Russia will not change. But suddenly, the week I returned to Russia, Soviet Union fell apart. They disbanded the Communist Party, they disbanded KGB, and I didn't have KGB in Russia to watch over me anymore, but the Lord Himself. And I traveled all over Siberia and preached even in dreaded gulags to the people there. And the Lord works in mysterious way. So I married a nice Christian American girl from Louisiana, and we lived together 50 years. We have 6 children, 12 grandchildren, never dull moment yet. In fact, I have granddaughter visiting today. To see me, the Lord gave me opportunity to teach and preach both in this country and in Russia. And I thank the Lord that He did that a long time ago in Germany, and showed me the light, and more or less made me kind of secure myself to know that I'm really born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, to live with Him in this life and the life to come, the life eternal. I thank you very much for your attention, and I thank your pastor for inviting me, and he will conclude the service as the Lord leads him.
Thank you. Couple of minutes of your time, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 5, and we conclude the service this way.
Page 1654, if you're using the Bibles in the pews. John chapter 5, verse 24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I want you to think just for a minute about what you heard. It's a supernatural story. It's the power of a powerful God who arranges through tiny, seemingly insignificant circumstances, like a man receiving a gospel tract, wadding it up and throwing it in the trash heap, and it being stuffed inside of a stove. Late fall day in Germany, a Russian atheist, communist, former prisoner of war, cold, goes to light that fire. But he can't light it. So he has to pull out the stuff in there. And there, are in the Cyrillic alphabet, is a Russian gospel pamphlet. Jesus Christ himself came into that room that day and spoke to Dr. Nick. And the wonderful story of his life that unfolded after that is a testimony of the power of God. That God is available to you today here in this place. That same Jesus Christ is here calling you, not in a Cyrillic script gospel pamphlet, but through a variety of means, including the testimony of our brother. What a wonderful adventure this man's life has been to this point, and it isn't over yet, because he's headed to Russia next week, to Odessa. What a wonderful adventure lay ahead of him as he was considering taking his own life in a materialistic universe. Life is absurd. But Jesus spoke to him. Jesus is speaking to you. And he says to you, come unto me. Come to me. You would come today. We would be happy to share with you how you can know for sure that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, shed his blood for your sins, died so that your sins would be forgiven, died so that you could have a new heart, a new nature, a new life, and instead of a dark and depressed and dismal future, to have a future that's pregnant with hope, full of adventure, and that the best is yet to come. Will you come to that Christ? May we pray. Lord, we thank you that in the dark night of a man's soul, where his government and his entire society had taught him that life is really meaningless because he is simply a material thing, like a stone, like a piece of steel, like a Stalin, that the voice of the Good Shepherd came into that room and said, come unto me. Lord, we thank you that he, by your grace, responded to that call and came to you and found life, discovered there is therefore now no condemnation, and found that you had a wonderful plan laid out for his life. I pray that there are people here today who have never passed from darkness to light, who today would pass from darkness to light and would walk in the light of God in Jesus Christ, for Jesus' sake. Amen.